You're listening to The Bridge Metro West, located at 7 Strathmore Road in Natick, Massachusetts. For more information about The Bridge Metro West, our weekly Sunday gatherings, and other events, go to www.bridgemetrowest.com.
So Galatians 5, 16 through 25. Today we're going to talk about rediscovering life in the Spirit. This is a passage of metrics. I'm all about metrics. Like, I love prophetic flow and all that kind of stuff, but there are metrics all throughout Scripture by which we can go in and just do some honest self-assessment and see where we are. You know, the book of Romans says, you know, if you are a son of God, you're led by the Spirit of God. And so if you're being led by the Spirit of God in your everyday life, you know, okay, I'm locked in. If you're not, then it's like Romans 8:1 says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So it's not about condemnation, but it's about understanding who he is, where you are in your process, and figuring out, do I need to be realigned with his nature and his name? So Galatians 5, let's start in verse 16. I'm reading out of the English Standard Version today. And it says this, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, in rush hour traffic, rivalries, dissensions, and divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies." Oh, this is just an uplifting verse right now. "And things like these, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control." Guess what? I added that. "Against such things, there is no law." There's no law against love. There's no law against joy. There's no law against peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, I can talk. Against such things, there is no law. Verse 24, "And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit." Amen. So in closing, you know, she was talking about how the kids, and they get done reading, and then the kids, like, you know, sometimes beg them to read more. I was like, man, nobody's ever, like, begged me to speak more. Not in America, anyway. And other nations, to the point of incredible fatigue. But, you know, over the last several weeks, we've rediscovered the person of the Holy Spirit, the voice of the Holy Spirit, and the power of the Holy Spirit. We've been talking about rediscovering Holy Spirit. And it's not like he went missing. It's just that our awareness perhaps can become dulled over time. And we lack the sensitivity to the moving of the Spirit that maybe we once did. You know, for some of us, we've been walking this life a long time, and it's easy to become dull, or as Peter writes, I think in 2 Peter chapter 1, you can become nearsighted and blind, forgetting that you've been saved from your past sins. And so the Bible gives us all these examples that, again, are metrics for alignment. It's not a baseball bat that we're supposed to hit ourselves with or hit other people with, by the way. You know, religious structure will do that because they will go for the rules and the regulations, but they will build a structure that is void of the breath and the wind and the grace and the mercy and the love of the Holy Spirit. And so we need to have the Word and the Spirit so that we fully understand Romans 8:1 that says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean that there's not consequences for those who are in Christ Jesus. If we do things or we engage in some activities or whatever it is, oftentimes there's consequences to that. You know, I've had the privilege of doing prison ministry over the years. And one of the most impactful areas is when I was in South Africa. Now, South African prisons are not like American prisons. It's a whole different realm. You might see things, and I indeed saw things that I had never seen before. But to be in the midst of young men and even older men who are spending the rest of their lives in prison, and watching them be, their hearts being broken and remolded by Jesus as they say yes to him for the very first time, they keenly became aware that there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus, but I'm still bearing out the consequences of my actions in my previous life. As a matter of fact, some of them, as they received Jesus, started confessing to crimes that had not even yet been solved. And the guys that were facilitating the meetings were like, please stop talking, please stop talking. But there was this older man and he was just weeping. And he's like, you don't understand. I have to confess this stuff. And he confessed to something like a dozen murders that had yet been unsolved. And they realized, you know, if you say this out loud, you will never, ever get out of this place again. And he would rather have the pearl of great price, the treasure that was in the field, than his own personal freedom, because he understood that the freedom he was getting through Christ was more powerful than the bars that were containing him in that moment. Does that make sense? Yeah. So today we come into an important reality that the Holy Spirit was never meant to be a momentary experience. And sometimes in sort of charismania, I'm just making up words, but we just go from experience to experience. And we step in and out of the flow of the Holy Spirit because we think that the experience of the Spirit is something that merely happens in a meeting or at a conference or, no, this is a daily walk with him. And the Holy Spirit, he is a life that we live, not a moment that we experience. And, you know, many believers love powerful encounters with God. I do. I've had like just incredible, crazy encounters with God, and it felt like even being pulled out of my spirit into another place. And then I've had other places in times where it was just my conversations were so real with him that I could almost feel and see and sense like the depression in the bed next to me as he was sitting with me while we prayed. Just crazy, cool little moments with God. And so I'm all in on the powerful encounters, and I thank God for those moments. But the true measure of a spirit-filled life is not what happens in a moment. You know, when I do travel, or even here when I speak, or wherever I am, like, I'm not looking for what happens in the moment, because like, I don't need to have my ego filled. I don't care if people, you know, raise their hands or shake or fall down or whatever. I want to hear about what is God doing 4 weeks after that moment. Because that's the real measure of the depth of the Spirit and the Word. If you release something that is living and active and it's unfurling in a region or in a nation, then there's going to be an effect that goes well beyond the moment that I stand there. And even to the point where, you know, man, 4 or 6 weeks, man, forget my name, say his name. Because his name is way more powerful than my name will ever be. And so I love the power encounters, but I want to see the unfurling of his goodness that continues after a moment. What does that mean for us? Well, what happens on Monday morning? What happens Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? Or are we just surviving from service to service, from gathering to gathering, to get our recharge so that we can leave that moment and step into our daily existence? No, carry the wind, the breath of the Spirit, and the power of his Word everywhere that you go. And so the Holy Spirit is not here just to create spiritual moments and encounters, although that's what we want for you and for me, but he is here to help transform lives daily. And that transformation process doesn't end. We are forever being transformed from one level of glory to another level of glory into the image of Jesus until the fullness of time. And then it says, when we see him, we will be like him. And so I'm looking forward to that day. But the goal is to learn how to walk with him. Even Jesus said, I can do nothing of myself. I only do what I see the Father doing. If that's Jesus, how much more for us is that true? And so Galatians 5 teaches us what that looks like. What does it look like to walk in the Spirit? And conversely, what does it look like when you've detached yourself from the life of the Spirit, which you can do in a moment's notice when life circumstances don't line up with what you and your expectations are for the moment, which again, for me, a lot of time is driving. Now we're driving to North Carolina this week. Today, we're gonna drive to DC. And then we're gonna go on to There's gonna be all kinds of tests for me, I'm sure. Because I have a certain paradigm in which I think all motor vehicle operators should operate in. And that it, principally that means do not impede my progress. How prideful is that? Pray for me. Pray for Deb and Robbie. No, I get more stressed out when she drives than when I drive. So Galatians 5 is teaching us, what does it mean to walk by the Spirit? It's not about an event or even a momentary encounter. It's a lifestyle. It's what Jesus actually died for. A people who live daily, surrendered, and dependent upon the Holy Spirit. So let's talk about three things to expect when you are engaged in the life of the Spirit. And we're only going to do three things today because after service today, we're having an ice cream social. So I hit this microphone every week at least once. Okay. Number one, life in the Spirit is daily dependence. Romans 8, that is my favorite chapter in the Bible. I'm pretty sure right now. 13 and 14, it says this, Romans 8 verses 13 and 14, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. I think one of the greatest misconceptions about the Christian life is that spiritual maturity happens automatically. I was like that when I was a kid, you know, and I have my rebellious moments, and I'll be like, when I'm an adult, I will, quote unquote, magically just walk with Jesus. You know, and then I got into my early 20s and I realized, well, I'm still like in this weird limbo space. Like I'm not really in, but I can't detach myself because even if I tried to run, the Lord would put his goodness in front of my face and I would surrender to it. Like that was my entire life. The power of a praying mom, by the way. As hard as I tried to run, even at one point, summer after eighth grade, shaking my fist at God in my front lawn saying, leave me alone. Of course, he doesn't do that because the power of a praying mom. And so it's not an automatic thing. And I think a lot of us have figured that out now because now we're 20, we're 30, we're 40, we're 60, we're 80. We understand that maturity is a process that actually never ends, that we are never done being broken and molded. I was on a tour bus with some musicians way back in my 20s. And one of the musicians said, I'm just tired of being broken and molded. And I was like, you're tired now? Like, bro, this thing's going on for a really long time. Like, Jesus will continue to exfoliate your soul so that his Spirit will be the leading force in your life. And so the important thing to know is that the Christian life was never intended to be lived through willpower alone because that don't work. It doesn't work. Willpower is, I mean, that's great. I love willpower. But we can see that left to our own devices, free will activates in a completely different way in the world. You cannot overcome temptation through sheer determination. You cannot become like Jesus through effort alone. You cannot fulfill the call of God through human strength. The Christian life awakens through surrender, but is empowered in dependence every day. Not just a moment, not just an encounter, but every day. The Holy Spirit wants to guide us in decisions, lead us in relationships, direct our steps, shape our responses. Walking in the Spirit means learning to ask, Holy Spirit, what are you saying? What are you doing? How do you want me to respond in this situation? The greatest victories in the kingdom often happen in the ordinary moments of life, not in the crazy circumstances that we often find ourselves in. Sometimes the greatest victories in the kingdom happen when we choose forgiveness, choose obedience, choose prayer, choose faith. Those daily decisions become the pathway of transformation. And too often we wait for God to do something dramatic while ignoring the daily invitations of the Holy Spirit. But life in the Spirit is built one surrendered step at a time. I just want to emphasize that point a little bit because I think even in our stream and really in many streams of Christianity, we're waiting for this thing called revival. We're waiting for this whatever we want to call it, like this explosion in a space so that then we can finally do and fulfill the call of God. We can finally be who we're called to be. No, you can do that today. You can wake up in the morning and say, you know what? His mercy, it's new for me. His grace is sufficient for me. His love, it endures forever. Like, you can step into that. We're not waiting for some thing to happen. We are confidently, boldly coming before the throne of grace, even in this moment, and understanding that his power is being perfected in our weakness, even in this moment. I don't need to wait for some meeting called revival. I carry revival. The divine nature of God dwells in me. The word says I'm a participator, a partaker in the divine nature. The word says today I'm a co-heir in Jesus. That's not a someday, sometime future ideal. It's what you get to walk in today. And we got to step out of what we think is normal Western churchianity and step into the fire and the flow of the Spirit once again, because there's people that need to feel and sense that fire that he's put in you. You got to shake yourself out of that stuff. So what's the kingdom key? The Spirit-filled life is not occasional surrender to God. It is daily dependence on God. Give us this day our daily bread. So as we learn to depend on Holy Spirit daily, which is a lifelong, forever lesson. Isn't that right, Mama Verna? Amen. The Holy Spirit doesn't merely change what we do. He changes who we become. See, what we do flows from who we are, what we've become. That's what I love. I love Galatians chapter 5 because it's so practical. And it's not there to just beat you with a stick. It's to say, look, what is the propensity of your heart? What is the propensity of your mouth, your actions? Is it the deeds of the flesh? I love that he doesn't even call it fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And the ESV says works of the flesh. I think the New American Standard says the deeds of the flesh. Maybe the King James does that too. It's not fruit. There's no fruit of the flesh. It's just the actions that the flesh will commit. But if you walk by the Spirit, it begins to produce fruit. And what does fruit do? It feeds others. That's what we're called to do. That's what Paul said to Peter, Jesus said to Peter, feed my sheep. So number two, life in the Spirit produces the character of Jesus. Oh, well, that's fun. You know, character development is always the most fun thing about our faith. Romans 12:2 says this, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing, somebody say testing. Oh, that's so exciting. That by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Transformation comes, guys, as you renew the mind. Discernment comes as you endure testing. Good fruit comes as you stay surrendered to the Holy Spirit. One of the greatest things that our founder ever taught, I think, is that in the midst of hardship, in the midst of difficult circumstances, John Paul Jackson would always say, ask yourself this question, what is it about me, Lord, that you are trying to change, that you would allow this to come into my life? Sometimes when the heat comes, I use this metaphor a lot, but it's like a hot pack on a zit. I was in junior high. I didn't really have the awareness that I had acne. I was just living my life. It was my two sisters that were like, you have zits. So all of a sudden they would descend upon me and they would get a washcloth and two washcloths, because a lot of the zits were like up in my hairline. You couldn't even see them. And then they would take the hottest water that they could get out of the faucet and they would smack it on my head. I'm like, what are you doing? We're gonna get the pus out. And then they would sit there, dank, dank, dank. Now I got a spiritual daughter in South Africa and her name's Robin. She'll probably see this. And one of her favorite shows is Dr. Pimple Popper. All right, who watches that show? Anybody here ever watch that show? Good, don't admit it. Oh, Karen. Oh, that's disgusting. Yeah, Debbie used to watch it. I just walk out of the room. I was like, I don't need to see that. And there's something, we had some good friends of ours that used to be here. Their last name, well, I mean, and Vic is here now, but his last name's Lipoma. Apparently, Lipoma is a thing that they also pop on, Lipoma on Dr. Pimple Popper. It's gross. But if you want to find what's hidden and get it exposed, you got to put heat on it. And the Holy Spirit's gonna do that in your life. You might think you got it all together. You've had a good run. You've had a couple, years of, being peaceful and loving, and the joy of the Lord is my strength. And then life happens, and now you want a pastoral meeting, and you come in, and you're like, why is this happening? Tell me what I'm supposed to do. What is it? Well, through testing, you grow in discernment. How do I grow in discernment, Pastor Paul? Well, through testing. Romans 5 talks all about it. That when we persevere, it develops proven character. Proven character yields to a hope that will not disappoint you. But hope comes on the other side of difficulty. Character comes on the other side of resistance. We live a life of resistance, but we are following one who is known as the breaker that goes before us, so that by testing, you may discern what the will of God is. Some people, every moment, it's like they want to know, what does this mean? What does that mean? How do I discern? By testing, you will grow in discernment. And sometimes when you call me, that might be a test, because who knows, maybe I'm cranky that day. But your discernment will come through fire. See, remember, Paul gives us one of the clearest metrics that we read of a Spirit-filled life in Galatians 5. It's not about your gifting. It's not about titles or platforms. It's fruit. And it's one fruit with many flavors. You don't get to pick and choose one. It's love, joy, peace. You have to have an encounter with love, joy, and peace before you can even get to the rest of the fruit of the Spirit. That it's like drinking wine, and I don't pick up, or even now they do that with coffees now, like notes of cherry and, I don't know, jasmine blossoms. And I don't know if that's a flower or not. I don't know anything. I just know if I like it or not. I'm not all that crazy. John Thomas, he's into all that kind of stuff in the notes, and he'll do all the tastings. I'm pretty crazy with my coffee, but I'll just drink it. And I like to drink it hot. And so it's kind of like that. The fruit of the Spirit is like that. You have to, don't try to produce patience if you haven't had the encounter with love, joy, and peace. If you stay locked in with love, joy, and peace, as the new wine flows into your mouth, metaphorically speaking, then you're gonna get the rest of the sensations and the fruit of what Jesus is pouring out by the Holy Spirit. And then you get to patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruit of the Spirit is the character of Jesus being formed in us. The Holy Spirit is not merely interested in making us powerful, although power is a big component of who we are and who we are called to be. But how do we get there? He is interested in making us like Jesus. The greatest miracle may not be a healing. The greatest miracle may be watching an angry person become gentle. Matter of fact, every time I'm in the world, I see somebody who's just got a real anger problem, I start to think, what is that gift under the blood? At a meeting in Taiwan that was attacked by a very angry man, he came in and just started pounding the walls, probably because I was too loud. I don't know what was going on. But man, I just said, Lord, let me see him through your eyes. And it was almost like the word unfolded before me. It was like evangelist. And so the people were all freaked out because this guy was, pounding the walls, punching the walls. He wanted to hit people. And I didn't really realize what was going on. Like, I was just moving around the people and praying. So I prayed for him, which probably made it worse. But I was so struck that, it was almost like this intimidation began to rest on the people. And I said, no, we're not coming under this atmosphere. We're going to pray for that man. Like he's a neighbor to this house. Like we need to start giving him gifts. We need to start showing him the goodness of God. Because if you take that passion, that fire, and that anger that he felt, and he's kind of, you know, hitting you guys with a stick that you didn't hit him with, we don't know his history. We don't know what kind of trauma or abuse he went through. But we take that and we walk him through the cross. He's going to have no fear to step out into the street and start declaring that Jesus is the way to the Father. No one comes but by him. That the blood of Jesus is enough to save and to deliver and to heal. Sometimes the people, even in our workplaces that we dislike enough, we dislike the most, we just haven't been given the eyes to see what would that person be like on the other side of the cross. And when we see that, you'll do anything to lead them there. The greatest miracle may be watching an angry person become gentle, a bitter person become forgiving, a fearful person become peaceful, a selfish person become loving and radically generous. That is supernatural transformation. And look, anybody can show up here and act spiritual for an hour. Most anybody. But only the Holy Spirit can transform a life. The world doesn't simply need believers who talk about Jesus. The world needs believers who look like him. We used to say, you know, go be Jesus with skin on, which is kind of a weird way to put it, but you are an ambassador for Christ. He's making his appeal through you. Allow that appeal to be released this week. The world needs believers who demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:18. It's one of my favorite verses. It says this, and we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is Spirit. So what's the kingdom key? The clearest evidence of the Holy Spirit is not what happens through us, but what he produces within us. That's big. The clearest evidence of the Holy Spirit is not what happens through us, but what he produces within us. Oh, I could preach an hour just on that. But hey, as the Holy Spirit transforms our character, he also begins transforming the environments around us. That's hard to believe sometimes, but I've seen him do it over and over again. Because Spirit-filled people become carriers of God's presence. And that leads us to number three. Life in the Spirit impacts everyone around you. Do you actually believe that? Yes. That's pretty good. Let's go do that. Let's have the confidence to know that when you go from this place, when you step into another place, you are carrying the kingdom of heaven. You are occupying that space wherever you are right now. This is the attitude that I take. You know, even when I travel and I step into a region or step into a nation, I put my foot on the ground and most often I just whisper, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I don't need to shout it from the mountaintop. I'm just putting the enemy on notice that light is here and you cannot step into this space because salvation is about to hit the ground. Matthew 5. 14 through 16, you can flip there or you can just write it down. You could swipe, whatever you do. But it says this, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. When the Holy Spirit fills a life, the impact never stops with that individual. The impact doesn't stop with you. You are not the terminator of that spiritual electrical current. You are a conduit. You are a pass-through. We might, you know, we have like guitar pedals, and I still have a bunch that are in a box somewhere, and maybe someday I'll rebuild my guitar effects board, but there's pedals that are called true bypass, which means that when the signal comes in, it goes out exactly as it came in. That has the capacity to do that. It's not running through other things that would degrade the signal, but when you bypass that pedal, it is able to flow through unfettered by the container that it's in. You are called to be true bypassed pedals for the Holy Spirit. So when God steps on you in a loving way, of course, that what he's releasing to you gets released through you in a true bypass, like it's not colored by your vessel. It's not colored by your history. It's not colored by your disappointment. It's not colored by your trauma, because you understand that his power is being perfected and being utilized even in the weak places of your life. Does that make sense? Yes. The presence of God always overflows. That's just what he does by nature. He's not giving you just enough or maybe a little bit less than enough. He is pouring out his presence upon you to overflow. So spirit-filled people change atmospheres. They bring peace into chaos, hope into discouragement, faith into fear, love into brokenness. Look, you know, sometimes when I'm in a space, I look at what's happening in the room, or I look like, well, at what's happening with people. And when I see some of the markers of the fruit of the flesh, or the deeds of the flesh, then I think, how do I come in the opposite spirit of that? Even when I come in as a worship leader, some places I would go into, and it was like you could just feel like depression was in the room. Everybody came in heavy. They had a hard week. It was probably cloudy and rainy out. Like, and we want to call that spiritual, but it's really environmental. And we're just surrendering to something that we don't need to surrender to, because we're actually seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And then everybody's depressed. And now my drummer's depressed. And everybody, now we just want to like mope our way through worship. I remember one time I looked at my drummer and I said, "We're not coming under this atmosphere. Atmospheres do not dictate to us. We dictate to atmospheres. We are Holy Spirit dictators. And so now I dictate to this atmosphere. Where there's depression, I speak joy. Lord, where there's anxiety, I speak peace." Sometimes when I felt like it was so heavy in the room, I'm like, we're just gonna kick people in the face with Jesus, exfoliate them with his name, and we're gonna go in hard. I love like morning sessions at a conference, or like the afternoon session when people come out of lunch and they all have food coma and they're expecting the nice little acoustic set. And I look at the band, I was like, oh, we're gonna kick them in the face with Jesus. We're going out day one. Ain't no warm-up song today. We are busting through glory to glory in this moment. People get ready, Jesus is coming. Okay. Because that brings peace into chaos. That brings hope into discouragement. That brings faith into fear and love into brokenness. And it does not require you to be in a good mood to be obedient. I live that more often than I care to admit. The fruit is found in what happens afterward. Are you gonna step out of this place today and leak that fruit everywhere that you go? Will people go home different today? Will churches become different today? Will prayer meetings become different today in the days to come? Will communities become different? Why? How could that happen? Transformed people transform environments. I've told this story before, but I don't remember what we were doing. It might have been when we were coming back from our honeymoon. But we decided to go to this church in Rhode Island. And there was a very famous evangelist guy. Some of you, if I said his name, I mean, some of you older people, if I said his name, you'd know who he was. And he was speaking, and he had like churches and micro churches all over Russia at that time. And at that time, it was hadn't been that long that the wall had come down. But he stood up there and he said, "You can't expect people to walk up to you on the street and say, you know, how then shall I be saved?" And I was young and brash and, you know, maybe a little stupid, but I was like, well, why not? I feel like that's something that could happen. Like we're in the midst of revival right now, I think. And so I started praying. I was like, God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would expand the atmosphere around me to such a degree that I, like even if I'm walking down the street or I walk into the workplace, that people get caught up into the vortex of that atmosphere and that they just come, they start asking questions. I don't even have to say a word, that they look and they feel different when they get into this ever expanding circumference of your kingdom, which I declare is at hand. And it was interesting, within 3 weeks, two things happened. One, we were walking down Main Street, Milford, the old Dunkin' Donuts. I mean, Milford used to have like 85 Dunkin' Donuts. Like they're down to like two now, I think. That one's now a laundromat. But we were walking in front of Dunkin' Donuts because we were doing a combined service with a Spanish church, a Pentecostal Spanish church. I mean, they're loud. But we're walking down the street and this guy comes dawdling down on his bike. And we get to the corner and he stops and he looks at me and goes, and he says, do you know God? I knew immediately what was going down. I said, as a matter of fact, I do. He goes, I want to know him. So we stopped and we prayed for him right there. He received Jesus right there. And then I did the worst thing that you could do with a drunk man on a bicycle at 10 in the morning. I brought him to a Pentecostal Spanish church with these little speakers that were so overdriven and so loud. It like pierces your brain, not just your soul. Like, and he survived about 10 minutes in that environment. And then he was gone. But God will bring you into those moments. And then I went to work. And there was the executive assistant of another department. She was an agnostic Jew. Her office was on the opposite side of the building. She came walking all the way across the building, came into my office, and she started asking me questions about the Bible. Never before. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I dare you to pray this week, even today, that God would begin to expand the circle of influence of his presence around you so that when people get caught up into that atmosphere, that their hearts just begin to bow to a love that is greater than anything they've ever experienced before. Now, you're still gonna have to do some things, but God himself can be the introduction to his own presence through you. Holy Spirit never intended for us to be reservoirs. We're called to be rivers. Spirit-filled life will affect your family, your workplace, your neighborhood, your friendships. And if you let the river flow everywhere you go, the presence of Jesus will be carried with you. So what's the kingdom key? The Holy Spirit transforms us so he can transform the world around us, through us. Some of you right now, you're like, really? God could do that through me? Oh yeah, heck yeah. If he can do it through Peter, he can do it through you. If he can do it through Matthew, he can do it through you. If he could do it through James and John, he could do it through you. If he can do it through Paul, David, he can do it through you. As we close today, I believe one of the greatest deceptions in the modern church is convincing believers that Christianity is something we attend or identify with rather than something we become or someone we become. Church, we attend services, we attend events. Some attend conferences or conference after conference after conference, but God is after something deeper from all of us today. He's not looking for an occasional acquaintance. He is looking for people who walk with him, people who wake up dependent on him, people who listen when he speaks, people who walk with him when he leads. That's what obedience is, just walking with God. People who carry his presence into every room they enter, in spite of their mood, in spite of their fatigue, in spite of their schedule, their own expectations. Because the world doesn't need more people who know church language. And I'm not really anti-Christianese like some people are. I think every group has its own language. As a matter of fact, the entire New Testament was written in Christianese. It's called Koine Greek. It's not classical Greek. It was the Greek language that the believers took, and they made some things their own. I'm okay with that. But we need more than that. The world needs believers who live in the Spirit, whose marriages reflect Jesus, whose homes reflect Jesus, whose workplaces reflect Jesus. Believers whose lives make people wonder, what's different about them? Even in my rebellion, you know, I wasn't really back with the Lord. I was past trying to run. I just didn't know what I was doing. I moved back up here. I was working at a gas station, pumping gas. I was a fuel transfer engineer. And people, it was in Milford. So Milford, there's no self-serve gas. You can go to Milford and get your gas pumped. It's just the way it is. And people would come and drive across town and pay more for their gas at the station. And they would come in and they would pull in and say, what's wrong? Literally, I had a lady ask me, what's wrong with you? I said, now you got to understand, I was still drinking. I just smoked a Marlboro Red that I probably stole from the gas station. I mean, borrowed. I said, it's Jesus. I had no other explanation because it wasn't me. I've been marked by the blood. In spite of my daily decisions in the moment, I knew I was still marked by the blood. There was a young girl that she would just drive up. And she was probably about my age at the time. And she's like, what is different about you? Why are you so happy? Why are you smiling all the time? I didn't even know that I was smiling all the time. I didn't feel like I was smiling all the time. But sometimes the glow of God is greater than your momentary disappointments. What does it mean to walk into a place and just have the atmosphere of God captivate people into your space, even when you don't maybe want that space invaded in that moment? It's not about your mood, and it's not about how many right things you do or how many wrong things that you do. Are you just willing to be a vessel in which the Holy Spirit can display himself good? It's not rocket science. It's found in simplicity. I love that verse in Acts 4:13. We talked about it last week. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Would you start today and just make the decision, I want to be known as a man, I want to be known as a woman who's been with Jesus. Because when you're with him and you walk with him, that's when you step into a place and things just begin to happen. And now you're engaging with the flow of the river. You don't even have to make things happen. He starts to do that for you. See, the answer is not better behavior, although you know, we should probably behave a little better than we do. The answer is Holy Spirit. The answer isn't just more knowledge, although we are to grow in the knowledge of God. The answer is proximity and close relationship with Jesus. Not just proximity. See, being in the room, it gets you proximity. But relationship comes as you relate day after day, night after night. I want to be known as a man who's been with God. See, that's what the early church understood. They didn't simply have church. They carried the presence of God. And everywhere they went, cities felt the impact. In one city where the apostles went in, people getting saved, delivered, people got mad. They dragged him before the authorities in the city and they said, they have turned our city upside down. I was like, glory to God. Lord, let us be a people that go into towns and cities all across Metro West and we turn those places upside down. See, Holy Spirit can't be confined to a Sunday morning as much as you'd like to. He was meant to fill every part of your life, every conversation, every decision, every relationship, every opportunity, not just moments of power, but a lifestyle of presence. everywhere we go.
Thank you for listening to this message from the Bridge Metro West in Natick, Massachusetts. Paul David Guidry is the senior pastor at the Bridge. For more information about the Bridge Metro West family, our gatherings and events, visit www.bridgemetrowest.com or call us at 508-651-0277.